Let's continue in our worship as we look at Psalm 91. If you'd like to turn there with me, we're going to look at Psalm 91. Very interesting psalm. Notice that there, in most Bibles, it doesn't have a author at the top of it. Many of the psalms have of David, or the previous psalm has of Moses. This psalm is what they call one of the orphaned psalms, because we don't know exactly who wrote it. It is surmised because the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint version, which came much later, thought it was of Moses, Psalm of Moses. But it is very close in thought to what appears in Psalm 90, and so there's some reason to think that as well. It is a wonderful psalm, and as Brenda mentioned, it's a favorite of many. It, I think, helps us address the issues of life, that life sometimes is not easy. And many of you have faced that or are facing that fact, that life is not easy. Ran across a brief statement that goes something like this. The problem with the easy life is that it masks our need for God. And it does. And we realize that the easy life has masked our need for God when it's not so easy. We spaz, for lack of a better term, at times. We lose it. We just lose it instead of maybe taking the steps that the psalmist has here for us today. I'd like us to just read together. Would you join me in the reading of God's word as we see it displayed up here? He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lots of great stuff in that psalm. What jumps out at you? Either just as it rises to the top and impresses you, or if it's a question, and the questions are fine too. There isn't any of our life that He doesn't cover. Okay? What was that? God is always with you. Other impressions or questions? Or, angels. Angels. Because you're hiking places like that. Have you thought about that? Possibility that God is caring for you by sending angels to care and watch over you. He will cover you with His feathers. Okay? All right. Well, let's dive in. The idea, the big idea in this text, I think, is that God's protective care makes it possible for us to rest our fears and troubles so that we can live confidently. You get that basic idea from that psalm? It's the big picture. Everything in the psalm is kind of directed toward that big picture, I think, that helps us rest our fears and troubles so that we could live confidently. He starts off with an affirmation. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's an affirmation, isn't it? Okay? Declaring something. And what he declares, that if we find shelter in the Most High, we will rest. Two interesting words or names of God that are used here. Most High and Almighty. Can you just describe what, when you hear those words, what difference there might be between the two? He's above all others. That's the top. If you want to go to the top, okay? Power. All powerful. All able. Okay? So you could possibly, if you were in communion with the Most High and the Almighty, rest some of your fears. Seems like. Yes. It is a decision. It is. Very good. A very good observation. And one which the psalmist seems to urge. He's urging people to do the same thing. So it is a choice. It dwells. The idea here is that this is your home. Right? Your home is in the shelter of the Most High. Your home is in the shadow of the Almighty. The second thing we see is a determination, or rather a declaration. It's both, I think. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, in God, my God in whom I trust. It is both a determination. I will say this. Does that sound like a determination? I will say this. This is what I'm, what would you say? This is what I'm speaking. In those moments that we have when we talk with people who don't have faith, we can say, this is where I am. I've placed my life in God's hands. I have found help as I've placed my life in God's hands. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, in God whom I trust. So there's an affirmation and also a determination. The affirmation, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, this is kind of my picture of what you were talking about a little bit, about some of the pictures here, that it has to do with the idea of a bird who often shelters the chicks. You can see the eagle. Can you see the little chick there? Oh, yeah, he shows up. Okay, good enough. I wanted to make sure that the light is good enough. So we find shelter in the Most High, and we can rest there in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadows are kind of good, Verity, where you're going in Texas. It's nice to be in the shadow, I think. I've lived in Kansas, and I've been in Oklahoma and Texas. It's nice to have a shadow because it protects you sometimes from the elements, sometimes from the sun. I will say, see, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And then the second idea with this determination or declaration He's saying, I will say to the Lord, you notice he changes metaphors here. First, it's kind of the picture of the bird, and now he changes to a different metaphor. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, fortresses, you know, at certain parts of our history have been very, very important to people. There were places when you were attacked by your enemy that you went. This looks to me like a great one. It's like with a moat like that, have fun storming that castle. You know, that is. But that God is that place of refuge for us, a place where we can rest our fears and trust to him. Let's look at verses 3 through 8. In verses 3 through 8, I see an exploration of trust. The first part seems to be an affirmation of trust. The psalmist is simply saying, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High, and in general, he's encouraging people to do that. And then he says for himself, that I will say he is my refuge and my fortress. Now he encourages his reader to dig in a little deeper and see and explore how God can be trusted in difficult times, verses 3 through 8. The first kind of fear that I see suggested here is that those kinds of fears that we feel we cannot beat, avoid, or escape. Don't fears feel like that at times? Will I ever be through with this? I don't seem to be able to turn things around. This looks inevitable. Those are things that are part of that. And the picture that he gives is of the fowler's snare. A fowler is just simply a professional bird catcher. That's what a fowler is. And very often in this culture at this time, the way to catch them is with different kinds of traps. It is a picture of a person standing off to the side with a little string to just pull the trap and catch the birds. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Fears that we are not sure we can beat, avoid, or escape. He will save you from that. We don't have to live in that kind of existence, I guess is where my mind goes with that. Chronically agitated by our fear. But there's a point, someplace, where we can rest them and he can save us from that, from our fears. The second kind of fear that I see here is a fear that is a threat to our personhood or existence. Surely he will save you from the deadly pestilence. If anything, pestilences were, or diseases, plagues, these are things that are a threat to the whole person, to your very life. And what's pictured here is fear, the kinds of fears that we have that are a threat to our personhood or existence. They feel that way because sometimes it could be a threat to an occupation, what we do, the sustainability of our livelihood. It can be health issue. It can be lots of those things. Do we have to live under the constant fear that sometimes those things can inject into our lives? No. There can be a place where we can rest the outcomes in God's hands. What God offers us during these times is, I think, hinted at in verse 4. that he places himself between us and the threats. Now, again, the picture is that of, I think of a bird and a small chick. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Now, when you pray, do you pray, and I think it's okay to pray with this kind of imagery, that God is placing God's self between you and the fearsome thing. And you're free to use this kind of imagery, I think, biblically. Covered up, encapsulated in his care. He intervenes for us. He intervenes for us by placing himself between us and what is the source of our fears. Any questions on this? Thank you. It's a realistic picture of life in Christ. It is at times a battle. We've already seen the idea of a refuge or a fortress. It's part of that picture of a battle. It'll come up here again. And it takes time. It just takes time to work through. That's a realistic picture of it. It doesn't just happen automatically. And it's a process of walking with God. He defends us too. Yes? We don't see all that's going on. We just don't see all that's going on. There's lots of stuff going on. Yeah. Another thing that God offers us, he intervenes for us. He also defends us. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. A shield is pretty important when you're doing battle. I would want one. I would want one if I were engaged in some kind of mortal combat. I'd want a shield because they protect. But God is to be our shield. And rampart. Do you see a rampart in the picture above? A rampart is that wall, that protective wall that you see, especially in the circles. And there's these little parts where a person can step into the gap and look. That's a rampart. And the whole picture is protection. You can take a look at where the enemy is. You can address the enemy from a place of distance and protection. You can say, well, the enemy is really, if they're down below, they're at a great disadvantage to the person above. And in terms of a defensive state of posture, his faithfulness is to be our rampart. It's to be our protection. So in a sense, we trust in his faithfulness, and that's every bit as part because he is faithful, we can rest in the sense of being protected because he's faithful. It's quite an image. So to think of yourself when you're going through difficulty behind his faithfulness. His faithfulness stands between you and those circumstances. The next little section, he calms us. It says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. There's an idea that God is at work all the time. You can see that alternating in a very poetic way between night and daytime, between darkness and midday. And he's saying, you will not fear these things. Why? Because God is my rampart. God is my shield. I don't have to be afraid. It doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. And that's what I appreciate about the psalm. It's very, very realistic. We go through difficult things. What is depicted here is that there are times where, what we face is like a terror in the night. What we face is like the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. We face things like that. We can not fear. That's our possibility. The next thing is kind of an interesting turn that the psalm takes. First, he makes a statement and an affirmation, and then he does this exploration into what are some benefits or how trust works, how God is at work so that we can trust. And then finally, he recommends something to us. Do you see the recommendation? It starts off, if you make the Most High your dwelling, okay? So he's recommending this to you and me. He's saying, the Most High is my dwelling, and I want to recommend the Most High to be your dwelling as well. So there's a recommendation to trust. And the reason for that is the fruit of, it rises out of the fruit of the psalmist's personal experience. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then these things will follow if you do this. So you can see the little chicks here in the nest. One of the chicks is saying to us, the rest of the chicks, do this. Trust in the one who spreads his feathers around us, who puts himself between us and the difficulty, who protects. Trust in God, our rampart and shield. He's recommending this from personal experience. And he's saying, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Well, I tried to find a picture of something that might have been a tent like the psalmist was talking about. And obviously this has a little plastic in it. This may not be your idea of a good time, living in a tent like this. Probably some of you would rather it look like this inside your tent, okay? What's that? You want the one that comes with the fan? Yeah. I noticed in the previous picture there is a power pole out there someplace. So that's where you get the fan. But the idea is where we live, our life, our very life, he protects us in. There have been so many stories in the first part of our worship service about people who've been protected divinely. It's been fun to hear your stories, how God has protected, that you knew the way things went, the way things worked out, that God just must have been in control in those circumstances. It doesn't mean that harm doesn't happen. As you well remember, I landed out on a street after I got hit on a motorcycle. It doesn't mean that things don't happen. But we have no idea the number of things that are going on that God protects us from. I have to come back to things like that. I know there are times in my life, times in the life of my family, times in the life of my church family, where God has exercised his protection. And I come back to that, and I rejoice in that. So trust puts us in God's protective care, verse 10. How God responds to our trust. There are times when God responds directly to our trust. I mean, I'm using the word directly here in this sense, that we trust him for something and God, through the Holy Spirit, answers that need immediately. So God sometimes does that by changing what happens around us and sometimes by changing what happens within us. Now, probably many of you have set in those long wait times, waiting for the answer to prayer, and you find out that in the process of waiting, God does a work in you. In fact, I've heard people, and I've experienced in my own life, where when God finally got God's work done in me, I didn't really care so much about getting the thing out there taken care of. I didn't care. What God gave me in the process was worth it. It's nice that God does, but somehow God changes both what happens around us and then what happens within us. And he works sometimes indirectly. And when I say indirectly, I'm talking about those angels that we mentioned. What angels sometimes do is guard you in all your ways. Or, in the second part, they will lift up you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. The idea in the first part, will guard you in all your ways. What does that sound like to you? Something really good, okay? No matter what happens, wherever you go, there's guardrails, okay? Could this be true, guard you in all your ways, if he were protecting you against self-imposed problems? Could he do that, guard you in your ways so that you avoid self-imposed problems? If you pay attention, if you pay attention. Yes, it's our free will. Well, one of the things that's true, I just have to say, underscore that one. It's very true. It's often what we do, and we have a choice in the matter. Fears can drive a lot of stuff, negative stuff in our lives. This one, I think, for me, was that I kind of count on that God is helping me avoid myself at times so that I'm not always blowing it, so that I can get a few things right. I think as a parent, a divine parent, he wants me to feel somewhat successful in the attempts that I make, and sometimes he lets me learn by my mistakes, and sometimes I think he's just gracious, just absolutely gracious. He could also, in general, help us guard our ways, or guard. He could guard our ways through these angels. It says they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That image to me is kind of like, I don't know, but this is what comes to my mind. As parents, have you ever just kind of carried your child along, and at times you just swing them a little bit, and if you see something, some obstacle down there, you might lift them up a little bit and make sure that they don't stumble over that particular thing. I could see angels directed by God to help us avoid things that we might not see ahead of time. Could you see that? Can you see that possibility? That so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Does that verse sound familiar? Well, why does it sound familiar? Or where have you heard it before? Okay. Could you hear that? So it was used in Scripture. It was used by Satan. This passage was quoted by Satan to tempt Jesus. What's the difference between embracing this truth wholeheartedly and what Satan was asking him to do? What's the difference? Okay, motive. What's the motive? Okay. Poor motive on the part of the enemy. We've never done that, right? That's all hypothetical. Expecting God to bail us out in our impulsivity. So a precious promise, not a presumptive thing. It's a precious promise. So indirectly he does this. What possibly you could do with angels' help? You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. These are very... We're the ones who do the trampling. Have you ever thought of that? I've never thought of it. And you know, until you look at something like this, you look at a lion, you never think of doing that. Very good. These are images at times in Scripture of even our mortal enemy, Satan, a lion going around hoping to devour, a serpent. There are ways that the enemy tries to thwart God's good work in us. Many, many ways. But you can, with help, God's help, overcome that. And then a promise to those who trust. This is a promise. Because he loves me, notice the change in who's doing the address. The psalmist is addressing first. He's saying, this is my belief and my affirmation, and this is my recommendation to you. And now this shifts to be in somebody else's voice. It's God's voice. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. This is a promise to the person who trusts. It is a promise that is nurtured in prayer. It continues, he, you, anyone who makes the Lord his refuge, he will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So this is a relationship nurtured in prayer. It isn't a kind of thing where, what would you say, we show up, let's just say, once a week at God's door and say, how about it? Another week of the good stuff. How about it? Okay? Another week of the good stuff. It isn't that way. We acknowledge him, his name. We call upon him. And he says, I will deliver you. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I'll go back to this picture. One person, the psalmist saying to you and me, are you a little insecure? If you're feeling a little insecure, look to the left. Someone's here. The one who covers you and cares for you and will always be with you. This is the one that we rest in. We rest in his care. We rest in his person. We rest in his faithfulness. We rest in his commitment to us. Let's bow in a word of prayer. I'd like to invite worship team, if you'd come forward, we'll have that last request for a song. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again. It is light to our lives. It is life to our very soul and being. It stuns us at times that you're that committed to us. We pray that you would fill up in us those acts of willfulness that keep us at a distance from you. We pray that you would speak to that and draw us closer into your very presence. We long for a deeper walk with you. We long to be trusting persons rather than fearful persons. We know that for you to address that in our lives, especially when our lives have been so habitually flooded with our own fears, that is a big work. But we know that you're fit for it. Help us to draw close to you, dear refuge and fortress. Amen.